Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You can't accuse a president of bribery. And then when some of us note that the Supreme Court has rejected your type of boundless interpretation, say, well, it's just impeachment. We really don't have to prove the elements. That's a favorite mantra that is sort of close enough for jazz. Well, this isn't improvisational jazz. Close enough is not good enough. If you're going to accuse a president of bribery, you need to make it stick, because you're trying to remove a duly elected president of the United States. Now, it's unfair to accuse someone of a crime, and when others say, well, those interpretations you're using to define the crime are not valid, and to say they don't have to be valid, because this is impeachment. That has not been the standard historically. My testimony lays out the criminal allegations in the previous impeachments. Those were not just proven crimes, they were accepted crimes. That is, even the Democrats on the Judiciary Committee agreed that Bill Clinton had committed perjury. That's on the record, and a federal judge later said it was perjury. In the case of Nixon, the crimes were established. No one seriously disagreed with those crimes.
That was devastating, yes, yesterday.
Yeah, that's a reality check. Yeah,
it was a reality check. And I mean, he went on, he just absolutely shredded the case. And this is what I have been saying all along. And I have been predicting, even in Adam Schiff's 300-page report, we would never be given the specific federal statute, law, whatever, that had been broken. We still have not. That is what is so absolutely astounding about this impeachment rolling forward. This is why they had to control the witnesses, so nobody would ever say what Professor Jonathan Turley just said.
Now, there are three commonalities when you look at these past cases.
Talking about past impeachment cases.
All involved established crimes. This would be the first impeachment in history where there would be considerable debate, and in my view, not compelling evidence of the commission of a crime.
Amen.
Yep.
They have no crime. And he's right. He's addressing this, because this is my trolls say this because they hear it on CNN. Whoa. If you got enough votes, you could vote to impeach. Yeah. I mean, theoretically, you're right. But what Turley said yesterday is, well, you can, but you'll destroy the country. We've never done this before. There's no precedent for impeaching a president, not for a crime, but just because you just don't like what he did. And that will destroy, that will tear the country to pieces. It will open every future president to, well, we just don't like what he or she did, so impeach. And it cannot function that way. Here's the other thing. So he took out bribery yesterday that way. The Democrats grasping at straws are now saying, well, obstruction. Well, they're the ones who refused to vote for a formal impeachment process, which would have given them subpoena power. And then they asked Trump's people to show up. They asked Trump to provide documents. Trump says no. And guess what? Now they're in court. Well, that's the president's right. It's his right to fight it out in court, particularly when you refuse to make the process formal. The Democrats did that. Trump did not. So he's not just protecting himself from sham impeachment. He's protecting the executive office from, in the future, Democrats saying, hey, we'd like this, this, and this, and we don't even need to have legit subpoena power for those things. We expect somebody to come down here or else we're impeaching you. Well, no, Trump has a right to his day in court. And when he has his day in court, it's not obstruction of justice, as Turley explained finally yesterday.
I can't emphasize this enough, and I'll say it just one more time. If you impeach a president, If you make a high crime and misdemeanor out of going to the courts, it is an abuse of power. It's your abuse of power. You're doing precisely what you're criticizing the president for doing.
I'm concerned about lowering impeachments.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to hit that one. And so he's basically saying that this is the first non-criminal impeachment, which is why I call it a shampeachment, Lee. Here's the rest of that.
I'm concerned about lowering impeachment standards to fit a paucity of evidence and an abundance of anger. I believe this impeachment not only fails to satisfy the standard of past impeachments, but would create a dangerous precedent for future impeachments.
Yep.
Yeah, this is... I go back and think about all the things that Republicans complained about Obama, but of course there was never any impeachment. Now, there were people who were calling for impeachment, but there was never anything done about it because there was no evidence to support the charge.
Well, there was evidence.
Well, there was evidence.
There was plenty of evidence, but everybody just ignored it.
Well,
in his case, like putting pallets of cash, sending pallets of cash to a state-designated sponsor of terror.
Well, there is that, but yeah. And that came late in the second term. So,
and lying to Congress about it,
yeah.
And how much money you had sent. So there was that. I mean, the things that, by the way, you know, they would be impeachable if Trump did them.
Yes, exactly.
Better way to put it.
Yeah. And you would probably, well, if Trump had done them, you'd even have Republicans that probably go along with it.
That's the thing. If just the pallets of cash, never mind Benghazi or any of that. If you just the pallets of cash, yes, Trump would have been impeached for that, and it would have been hard to defend.
Yeah.
Really, really, really hard to defend. But he's Obama, so. There you go. You know what I loved yesterday, though? We talked a little bit about this earlier, but I didn't have all the audio. Turley did something really wonderful yesterday. And, I mean, he's not a Trump supporter. He doesn't think Trump should have tried to investigate what went on with Burisma in Ukraine. I disagree. I think that absolutely was relevant. He doesn't think that he specifically said that the phone call was not perfect, like Trump says. He agrees with the Democrats on all those points. He didn't even vote for Trump, which is what made his testimony so powerful.
I'm not a supporter of President Trump. I voted against him.
But he basically yesterday begged the Democrats not to tear the country apart with this, that this is new. And I mean, he had two of these clips, and that's what he was doing. And I mean, I thought the real patriot in all of this, it was never Vindman, certainly wasn't the whistleblower. It was Jonathan Turley saying, listen, I don't like Trump. I don't want him around. I hope he loses. But please, please, dude, we're going to end up in violence if you don't stop.
In the age of rage, it's appealing to listen to those saying, forget the definitions of crimes, just do it. Like this is some impulse buy Nike sneaker.
It's really sad that he has to say this.
Yeah, and this is coming from a Democrat.
Yeah.
And once again, he's not just an anti-Trumper; he's a Democrat.
Yeah. He's a Democrat, and he's saying, "Where will we be in the age of rage?" It's, I mean, what he's basically saying is, you know, you're pouring gasoline on the fire here, folks. And he went on, some of his clips are very long. They're very well reasoned. But he's basically like, you know, the thing that protects us from chaos is our mutual investment in our laws and our constitution, yeah. You know, and you cannot throw that out for a one off to get rid of a guy who defeated you at the polls, because we will live in chaos and madness and violence.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Well, awaiting some sort of pronouncement from Queen Pelosi on impeachment. We'll see what she has to say. You know, Rush talked about this a little earlier, if you caught the Rush minute there. Trump has made it very clear we're pulling out of the Paris Accords. We're done. We're finished. She goes over to Europe and tells him, no, we're not. No, we're not pulling out. No, we are. Completely undermining the president. You know what? This has all been about undermining the president. We're at the point in America, and this is what upsets people so profoundly. They sense it in their gut, even if they can't quite put it into words. President Trump was elected, but he didn't get to take over. They've simply negated his presidency, pretended he wasn't there, ruled by a second regime. I mean, look what's going on here. Liberal judges have almost ground to a halt Trump's ability to govern. I mean, even when he's tried to reverse Obama's executive orders, they say he can't. That's bizarre. Of course he can. Obama admits DACA's not constitutional. Trump reverses part of it that allowed the illegal immigrant parents to stay. The rest of it's being, along with the kids, the rest is being litigated. And they say, no, he can't. Judge says, no, he can't. Why? Because Obama's smarter. That's essentially what the judge's argument was. Everything Trump has done to try to secure the border has been overruled by judges, many of whom didn't even have jurisdiction, and almost all of whom have been, have been overturned at the Supreme Court level. The FBI has taken the position, we've been over this, that it doesn't answer to President Trump or Republicans in Congress. They don't comply with subpoenas. The Department of Justice, under Jeff Sessions, didn't comply with subpoenas. Well, you're saying, well, Jeff Sessions was Trump's appointee. That's my point. Trump said, and he's right, Jeff Sessions went to the Department of Justice and failed to take control. He could not control the Department of Justice. They will let you walk in there as a Trump appointee for now. You can set up your pictures of the grandkids, sit at your desk, but they're not going to listen to you. And Trump said he wanted Sessions gone, got rid of Sessions because he failed to take over the Department of Justice. Trump barely controls the federal government. And this is just another example. Nancy Pelosi saying it's not a real presidency. We're going to have a dual presidency. You know where they have that right now, by the way? Venezuela. It was found that Maduro was not legitimately elected. If you went to the polls in areas that did not support Maduro and you tried to vote, they threatened you with guns. So what did their legislature do? They voided the election of Maduro and appointed Juan Guaido. Who's ruling Venezuela right now? On paper, Guaido is. In reality, the military only answers to Maduro. That is exactly the situation the Democrats are setting up in this country. It's exactly that. That's what this impeachment's been about. What are we seeing? Bureaucrats coming before the people of the United States arguing that it is Trump's job to listen to them. Who are they? Obama holdovers. Democrats. Democrat loyalists. He's literally being impeached because he doesn't govern by consensus. Well, I'm going to have to call down to the State Department to see what the good liberals in charge there think. No, not Pompeo. He's just a paper tiger. No. I have to call down to the 44th floor, get permission from the bureaucratic state. Got to see what they want. No, he's supposed to be the executive, but he doesn't get to be. And that's what enrages the American people. They selected Trump as president. They elected Trump as president. And he has been denied that. Using bizarre interpretations of the law, as Jonathan Turley pointed out yesterday, that have never before been used in human history. Well, human history, in U.S. history. Excuse me. And why? This is the part where he tried to warn America, please stop before it spins out of control.
allow me to be candid in my closing remarks because we have limited time. We are living in the very period described by Alexander Hamilton, a period of agitated passions. I get it. You're mad. The president's mad. My Republican friends are mad. My Democratic friends are mad. My wife is mad. My kids are mad. Even my dog seems mad. And Luna's a golden doodle, and they don't get mad. So we're all mad. Where has that taken us? Will a slipshod impeachment make us less mad? Will it only invite an invitation for the madness to follow every future administration? That is why this is wrong.
Bingo. He goes on to say this.
It's wrong because this is not how you impeach an American president. This case is not a case of the unknowable. It's a case of the peripheral. We have a record of conflicts, defenses that have not been fully considered, unsubpoenaed witness with material evidence. To impeach a president on this record would expose every future president to the same type of inchoate impeachment. Principle often takes us to a place we would prefer not to be. That was the place seven Republicans found themselves in the Johnson trial, when they saved a president from acquittal that they despised. For generations, they've been celebrated as profiles of courage.
And he goes on from there. When Jonathan Turley, one of the things that's interesting to know about him, he's a liberal, but he's also a really well-noted constitutional scholar. And when Jonathan Turley is talking about history and constitutional history, he really knows what he's talking about. And I got an email, I've been saving it in my stack for 2 months, from Patrick, one of our listeners. And I am amazed going back and through history to see the couple of times in our history when we have been so violently at each other's throats in this country. It is amazing that we came back from that and that we were able to reestablish civil society. I know there's a lot of you out there who are incredibly frustrated, as frustrated as I am. Man, you are ready to march on Washington with, you know, pitchforks and torches. You are. And it seems like, hey, what's the point of trying to save the system anyway? You know, it's all gone downhill. We've been here before. That's what's so amazing to me. I've been thinking about Patrick's email for 2 months now and waiting for a place to work it in. When I heard Jonathan Turley's testimony, I think he uniquely understands, despite being a liberal and thus totally misguided, I think he understands what's at stake here. And he's telling people, listen, in these days of rage, don't throw out the definitions of crimes.
In the age of rage, it's appealing to listen to those saying, forget the definitions of crimes, just do it. Like this is some impulse buy Nike sneaker.
I want to tell you the story Patrick sent me. It's just amazing to me that this country came back from this. He was writing me about one of his ancestors, Loyalist Captain Samuel Still, loyalist to the Brits. This was the Revolutionary War era. Right. And by the way, before I tell you the story, I just want to remind you that the largest casualty toll in any war, United States history, you know what it was? A lot of people would guess World War II, wasn't Civil War. Normandy doesn't even come close to the Civil War. We killed each other. And yet we came back from that. So we can. And he's saying, let's not go back there. This is a Revolutionary War period story, not Civil War. One of his ancestors, he writes, Loyalist Captain Samuel Still, who's obviously loyal to the British crown, he says, and a black sheep of my family, says the rest of us were patriots. Loyalist Captain Samuel Still shot a patriot, or a loyalist of Washington in the Congress, shot a patriot who had been paroled from British imprisonment because the patriot was carrying a gun, which he claimed was for squirrel hunting. So this was, I mean, neighbors shooting neighbors. Patrick writes, a couple of patriots found Samuel Still and his partner in crime sleeping in a cabin before sunrise the next day and unceremoniously tied them to a tree and shot them dead. Samuel Still had at least two small children, his 8-year-old daughter being my next ancestor. All the others I found were patriots. Patrick writes, if the left does not come to their senses and stop dehumanizing the right, we won't have a nice, geographically neat 1861 to 65 Civil War, but another revolutionary war with neighbor against neighbor. This is exactly what Jonathan Turley, the constitutional law professor, was warning about yesterday. Didn't put it quite these terms, but this is what he's talking about. With neighbor against neighbor, Patrick writes, these idiots are planting the seeds for a Yugoslavia where the diversity could no longer be constrained and the people were willing to kill each other to separate. And he's, of course, he's not talking about racial diversity there. He's talking about diversity of views. Once somebody commits violence, the other side almost has no choice but to strike back. We still have the ballot box, he writes, but the left is taking... But now the left is telling us our votes don't count, that our elected officials are not allowed to govern or do their jobs under pain of impeachment, jail, loss of participation in society. God help us. And may he preserve peace. Yep, that's exactly what Turley was warning against yesterday. Please don't do this. That's what he was saying. All right, 800-347-1063 is the Ingalls Advantage talk line. Love to know what you thought about the hearings yesterday. I thought, you know what I think this is going to be? You know what I think the low informations are going to take away from yesterday? Barron Trump was slammed. I think that's good. I think that's about what most of the country is going to take away. And if you look online, this is actually surprising. All the major networks covered that, which I was shocked to see. I went to go looking for video of this, and I could find it at all the networks, ABC, CBS, NBC. I don't know why they covered it, but they did. This is angry Hillary Clinton donor and professor Pam Carton of Stanford, a hateful little woman. You know why she's enraged? Could you hear how angry she was? Do you know why she's enraged? She's really, really, really mad because she's been passed over twice. The Barack Obama people took a look at her for the Supreme Court and decided she was too radical. Can you imagine? But she was on Hillary's shortlist for Supreme Court. So the way she looks at me, she's mad. Her place in history was stolen from her by Donald J. Trump and his ape-like voters. This is why she's pissed. So mad, she went after Barron. The Democrats laughed after she said this. You know what's so amazing? They had trial hearings. They had mock hearings to prepare for this. So this was all scripted. It was a show, which is why we call it a shampeachment. And I would love to know if she used this line behind closed doors and the Democrats thought it was good and let it in, left it in. Or did she go off script? I don't know. I'm thinking they let her leave it in because they laughed and thought it was funny. It wasn't. This is how out of touch these people are.
I'll just give you one example that shows you the difference between him and a king, which is the Constitution says there can be no titles of nobility. So while the president can name his son Baron, he can't make him a baron.
Yeah, Melania Trump slapped back at her very quickly on Twitter. She had to apologize. But the hate continued. This was not who you wanted to put up to convince the American people that there were grounds for impeachment, because all that came across was rage. This is Professor Pamela Carton back in 2017. Just to give you an idea of where her head is.
The Mexican judge, the rapist, all of the Mexican... I mean, Donald Trump has sexually assaulted more women than 99.99% of all of the people who've entered this country illegally. I mean, by himself, he's done more.
That enough for you? Here's some more from 2017.
You know, I came in from the airport yesterday and I got off the bus from Dulles down at L'Enfant Plaza and I walked up to the hotel. And as I was walking past what used to be the old post office building and is now the Trump Hotel, which I had to cross the street, of course.
Are you staying there?
God, no. Never. Never.
This is the unbiased one. By the way, she's given over $20,000 to Democrats. She gave to Obama. She gave to Elizabeth Warren. She wrote a $2,000 check, her largest to Hillary. She's given to Barbara Boxer. She's given all the way back to Harvey Gantt, not a single donation to Republicans. So she's not just a college professor. This is a Democrat donor. She gives to the Democrat Senatorial Committee regularly. I don't know what they were thinking. Here's Matt Gaetz about her past mocking of conservatives.
I remember saying the following: liberals tend to cluster more. Conservatives, especially very conservative people, tend to spread out more. Perhaps because they don't even want to be around themselves. Did you say that?
Yes, I did.
Do you understand how that reflects contempt on people who are conservative?
No, what I was talking about there was the natural tendency, if you put the quote in context, the natural tendency of a compactness requirement to favor a party whose voters are more spread out.
Well,
and I do not have contempt
for
conservatives.
I'm very limited on time, Professor. And so I just have to say, when you talk about how liberals want to be around each other and cluster, and conservatives don't want to be around each other, and so they have to spread out, it makes people, you may not see this from, you know, like the ivory towers of your law school, but it makes actual people in this country
when
feel like, excuse me, you don't get to interrupt me on this time.
Do you need to hear any more? Texter writes, see, here, I want to know if this is true. Texter writes, most people know this is a laughable show trial. Do you think? Most people know this is a laughable show trial, the texter writes. The dangerous part of this is the United States is following the history of communist civil war of Europe. We have not learned from history and we're doomed to repeat it. Here's a challenge for Lindsey Graham. Let's see if he does it. Lindsey Graham has been, it's been requested of Lindsey Graham, who, you know, chairs the Judiciary Committee. This assumes that the impeachment will get to the Senate. Congress members have written Lindsey Graham a letter. They have asked that he use his subpoena power, just as Adam Schiff did, to subpoena the phone records of Adam Schiff, the whistleblower's lawyer, Mark Zaid, former Vice President Joe Biden, and Hunter Biden. Is this tit for tat? No. Will Lindsey dare to do it? I don't know. He's been covering for the deep state for a year now by refusing to hold hearings, so I'm very much doubting, but we'll see. Former letter sent to Lindsey Graham by members of Congress demanding he do this. Well, asking forcefully. Now, is this tit for tat? Is this the kind of thing we should avoid? No. We need these records. Let me tell you why. I'm going to tell you why we need these records. I had one of my liberal trolls yesterday say, well, I don't need the whistleblower to testify. Wait on. Hey, G, we already have the. No, we do. Whistleblower flew on the airplane with Joe Biden. Whistleblower Eric Charmella hosted the meeting where Ukraine officials were pressured to drop the Burisma investigation and let the corrupt FBI take it over. We know what they do. They destroy evidence. It's what they exist for these days. When the evidence implicates Democrats. Ukrainian officials wisely said no to the FBI coming in. They don't need any more corruption in their country. Now, why do we need the phone records of Adam Schiff, the whistleblower's lawyer, Mark Zaid, who has direct connections with Hillary? Heck, he gets his paycheck from Hillary, Inc. He is on the board of an organization run by her chief fundraiser, Port John Podesta. These people are all connected. Why would you need the records of former Vice President Joe Biden and Hunter Biden to see if the whistleblower coordinated with them? You want to get him going all the way back to January of 2016 when the whistleblower was hosting meetings in the White House where he's pressuring Ukraine officials to drop. By the way, he led the meetings to drop the investigation into Burisma. I want to know how often they talk. See, because I know they did. The whistleblower was Biden's guest of honor at a State Department dinner. They flew on a plane together. I can't remember if it was Air Force One or Air Force Two. It was one of the two. Two Ukraine. He's worked with several Democrats. Got a long history here. They're buds. So, I mean, if ever we needed phone records, you know why else we need the phone records of the whistleblower's lawyer, Mark Zaid? I want to see how many times the whistleblower was in contact with Adam Schiff's Intelligence Committee staff. Whistleblower's lawyer would have been the one to do that, Mark Zaid. And the reason we need to know this is because Adam Schiff lied to the American people. He said that the whistleblower had never been in contact with his staff. He said the whistleblower had never been in contact with him. Let's see if that's true. Because if not, he's been coaching the witness this whole time. And that'd be highly relevant, wouldn't that be grossly unfair? I bet you you're going to find contact between Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and the whistleblower's lawyer, Mark Zaid. Because Mark Zaid's deep into the Hillary circles. Remember Mark Zaid? The guy who said just days after Trump was elected, that they were going to impeach him and that it would be a coup. His words, not mine. Well, you need more than one person to plan a coup. I bet he made some phone calls. So I'm going to go ahead and file this away. Let's see if Lindsey Graham has the gonads to do this. A person who wants to save the Republic would. I often doubt that person's Lindsey Graham, but maybe, you know, maybe he'll surprise me. That'd be wonderful.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.